Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are so privileged, Lord, to have this opportunity to come together to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Believing, Father, that You yourself have come down with a message in this hour. The things which are hidden belonged to You, but the things which You have revealed now belong to us and to our children forever. And thus, Father, we are so thankful that we have this great treasure hidden in earthen vessels. And Lord, we pray that You would help us to come to a better knowledge and understanding, not only mentally, Father, but in our very life that we live. May it just exude presence. May it exude Thy life, O God. May it manifest Thee as Jesus Christ Himself declared Thee and openly manifested Thee before all men. Be with us as we study further the doctrine of Christ and help us, Lord, by this understanding. May that understanding take a hold of every fiber of our body. And as Brother Branham said, it begins with a mental understanding, and when the Holy Spirit anoints it, it becomes a divine revelation. So we pray, Father, for that divine revelation, and we pray, Father, for the rest and peace that comes through it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we're going to speak on the eighth attribute concerning the difference between the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that was that Jesus was obedient to His Father in all things. Now, you say, well, why is that an attribute? Because, you see, God cannot be obedient to anyone outside of Himself, His own Word. Because He is the only immortal King, He alone is omnipotent, and He alone is omniscient. And for God to be obedient to anyone outside of Himself, it would show He is in subjection, and it would show He would be a lesser being. Now, for our first scripture this morning, I'd like for us to turn to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. And the scripture tells us, for though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things that He suffered. Now, notice the scripture tells us that though He were a son, He learned obedience. Now, most of the time, people talk of obedience concerning servants, slaves, and such. But this speaks of the Son of God and His obedience to His Father. Now, what I wish to show you this morning is that through the obedience of this one son, it brought many sons to God. And the very fact that he was an obedient son shows that God was greater than he. Yet God chose to inhabit him because God inhabits the praises of his people. And God inhabited the body of his son who declared his father to the world. He openly manifested his father to this lost and dying world. Now, the importance of understanding this principle that Jesus was an obedient son is that he is the pattern for all sons in which to come. And through this obedience to his father, he was taken up and adopted before witnesses. And as Brother Branham makes it so plain in his sermon, Hear Ye Him, that it takes obedience to the father in order for the son to receive inheritance. And though you might be a son of God, if you're not an obedient son, you will not receive any inheritance unless you are an obedient son. And that's very important for us to understand. On the wings of a snow-white dove, Brother Branham said, also used in Matthew 3:16 again, when God's wrath was on the earth, and there was no way, the darkest of night, midnight, the churches had got things in such a twist, till there was no way out of it, it seemed. And there was false teachers, all kinds of things coming up, all kinds of professions coming up. God used a dove again, and it pleased him. His son Jesus had pleased him so well that he identified with him. Or he identified him. Now they couldn't believe that this baby that was born down there in the stable in the manger of hay, before his father and mother, supposed to be, was married, they couldn't imagine that God could use anything like that. So he had to be identified to the world, and that day down on the river, when he walked down to prove himself God's masterpiece that I talked about this morning, when he was obedient to walk into the water. So Jesus even was obedient to walk into the water for his baptism, showing his obedience and subjection to the Father. Now, what visions are for, Brother Branham said now, in 1956, he said, now he got weak at that, but now when God wanted to use his gift, Christ, And he picked up Christ and said, now wait, you leave this home and you go away and be gone 4 days and they're going to send for you. But don't you go, because Lazarus is going to die. And on the fourth day, you return back. You're going to find a stone laying over the grave. I'm going to get myself, get glory to myself, and I want you to have them to take away that stone, and then you're going to speak. And when you speak Lazarus' name, he's going to come forth. Jesus, obedient to the Father, does nothing. He said, till the Father showed him first in vision. Does the Bible say that? How many has read it this week since we've been talking about it? St. John 5:19. Yes, sir. Jesus said, I do nothing until the Father shows me first. Then I go do what he tells me. I do nothing except he shows me. That's right. Jesus said that. Did he tell the truth? He had to. So Brother Branham is laying out for us how God worked for him. In other words, God showed him everything to do. And so he's laying out for us that God said, look, I want you to go away while your friend dies. I don't want you to be there for it. I want you to allow him to die. But then in 4 days from now, I want you to go to his grave. It's going to have a huge stone in front of it. Everything, God painting the picture for Jesus. He said, tell them to roll away the stone. Make sure that they do. Then when it is rolled away, you call out his name. Because when you call out his name, he's going to raise from the dead. God showed him exactly, right down to the hat being on the chair, so to speak, what was going to take place. Jesus was obedient to the heavenly vision. In John 5:17, but Jesus answered them. He said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. How many times dad's out there doing something in those days, maybe out plowing the field, or he said, come on, son, you're not going to sit idle. You're going to come out and help me plow the field. You see? The Father worketh, and then the Son worketh hitherto. John 5:19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father doing, for whatsoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Again, Jesus obedient to the heavenly vision. John 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. In other words, Jesus' judgment was based upon what God had said. And he took everything that he heard, he brought it through the filter of the Word, and then he made judgment on it. And that's exactly what you and I are supposed to do. Now, those are not the words of a man who thinks that he's an island to himself. Those are not the words of a man who says, I'm my own man. Those are the words of an obedient son. And furthermore, we'll find out that this obedience to God's Word brings life, while disobedience to God's Word brings death. This nation and the world turned down the voice of God to this generation. And they are now in the process of living out the curse of God upon all those who turn down his voice according to Deuteronomy chapter 28. You think the world is in a sad condition? You just wait after a while. You thought that things are going to get tough financially? You wait after a while. You haven't seen nothing yet. Total destruction is on its way, and there's only one thing that can stop it, and that is for the world to repent and turn back to the voice of God. But do you think they'll ever do it? I believe it's too late. They haven't the heart to do it. God is setting to leave this earth very soon, and with it all hope will be gone. Come into the light and the life while there's time. If you've been following up on any of the things that have been taking place around the world, Fukushima as example, the radiation is now at 1,500 rads in California. A person can only live under 500. I've mentioned before that the pediatric offices, and there's an epidemic of cancer and stuff in the young children, in the newborns in California, and now it's moving this way. We don't know how much longer and how much, you know, energy that's being expelled out of that plant, but they say it's worse than Chernobyl. There's still flooding going on in the Missouri River. They're still trying to, they shut down back in, I think around February, they shut down that nuclear plant there, but it's underwater now. And it takes something like two full years for those cores to actually cool down to where they don't produce steam. This nation is under assault. The world is under assault. And yet people so idly just continue to live on just like they've got no tomorrow. I mean, there's no end to tomorrow. Well, we haven't seen anything yet. Just open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and read from verse 15. And look at all the different curses that come as a result of turning down the word, or the voice of God. Now, Brother Branham explains Deuteronomy, the two laws, he calls it, in sermon, God's only provided place of worship. He said, now the word Deuteronomy, the word itself means two laws. The word Deuteronomy, and God has two laws. The two laws, one of them is disobedient to the word and die. And the other is obedience to the word and live. That's the two laws. And Deuteronomy means those two laws. They have both been absolutely displayed to us in the scripture. One of them is death. The other one is life, life and death. God deals only in life. Satan only in death. And these was displayed to the world publicly, openly before every eye, and there's no excuse for it. One of them was displayed on Mount Sinai when the law was given, which condemned the whole human race to death. The other one was given on Mount Calvary that brought the whole human race to life when the penalty was paid in Jesus Christ. The two laws of Deuteronomy was fulfilled in these two great things. So we have the Deuteronomy, two laws. And the thing is, what are you doing with the voice of God? I mean, where do you sit with the voice of God? Because it's either life to you or it's death. In John 12:49, we read, and I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. What about you and I? We have our own ideas about this, that, and the other. Well, let's say what God said. Let's do what God said do. From investments, he said, our Heavenly Father, as many as are on their feet, they signify by this that they want life. And life comes only through obedience to Christ. He is life. He has a condition that we must meet. And by meeting this condition, as we think of Abraham, he believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And after it was imputed unto him for righteousness, God gave him the seal of circumcision as a confirmation that he received his faith. Many of these people profess to have faith, but they haven't been sealed yet by the Holy Ghost. And now they're standing, Lord, as a commemoration that they do believe. Now seal them, Lord, with the Holy Ghost. May it fall upon them and seal every heart here just now. May the Holy Ghost fall in this ballroom just at this time. And Satan, you get out of their life. Turn them loose. And may the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ come upon these people just now. And may they be filled with the power and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's my prayer for us. May we be filled with the power of resurrection. Resurrection life. From the rising of the sun, he says, and now we see, now that you are already resurrected, when God raised him up, he raised you. The sun is just now on you. And now you're growing into a blossom of life like he was to be resurrected completely in that last day. Your potentials you have now, why do you know? Your soul changed, didn't it? Your body come in obedience to it, didn't it? It's obedience to what? A church. Huh? No. The word which is the life. Then you are now resurrected from the dead. It is Easter with Jesus and I. It's Easter with you and Jesus. It's Easter with you, I and Jesus. We are all, Jesus, you and I, we're all resurrected together and we will rise at the last day even though our spirits leave our body, even though the bodies rust, may they go to the dust, may they be burnt up, may they be at the bottom of the sea. The Bible said an angel poured out upon his upon the sea and everything that died come up. There's nothing can hide us or separate us from that God that we love so well that's raised us up together. So we're looking at life. We're looking at obedience is life. You see? In John 8:29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. You see, it wasn't a chore for Jesus to be obedient to his Father. It wasn't a chore. It was a heartfelt love. It was life to him. He said, the commandments my Father gave me, they're life. From the Easter seal, he said, God's word, as Jesus was born the Son of God to be Emmanuel, God's full expression in a man. And we found him in perfect obedience down at the river of Jordan, being baptized by that prophet. And as soon as he obeyed him, and walked out of the water, the heavens opened to John, and he saw the Holy Ghost descending from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son. See, perfect obedience, the Spirit had sought him out in obedience. oh wayward man and woman, this morning, when you're sitting there and there's something in you telling you this is right, it's the Holy Spirit seeking you out to bring you to the knowledge of truth of this hour that we're now living in. Not some hour that's gone by, but the hour that is now. Again, in John chapter 10, verse 18, we read, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, you have power to believe, and you have power to disbelieve. What's your choice going to be? You see, Jesus himself and Paul said, God working in you to will and to do. Now, if you're not seeing the doing, you have to ask yourself, is there a willing? Because if there's not a willing, then there's not a God in there working in you to will. That's what you need. That's ground one. Then get to your knees and seek the Holy Spirit. And don't ever forget, he said, the commandments of my Father, they're life. God is life. From the token, Brother Bram said, now look. Then when we realize and present the token, the life it took for the token, the blood speaks for us. Remember, the covenant blood was recognized with the token, and the word assures us of the promise. The token is a sign that the purchase is made for us. Now, if you're not included in that, well, of course, you'll never get nothing. You're just walking through a prayer line, walking back up, walking up to the altar, looking up, walking back out. Oh, brother, when that token's once placed in your heart, and you know it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ in you, something's happening, there isn't nothing going to turn you. You know where you belong. Full obedience to the Word of God entitles you to the token and nothing else. Blessed is he that does all his commandments, that he might have a right to the tree of life. Then when we pray, we must have the token to present with our prayers. Now, don't fail to get that. When you pray, you must have the token to hold over your prayer. If you're not, you pray until the token comes, because you're not promised to receive it. See, you've got to have this token first. That's the paying price for faith to believe it. So if you're not sure that you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what you need first. You need to get to your knees and pray until you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are God's seed. You are filled with the Spirit. And you're living your life for Him. Then, He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall ye do also. He also said, if you believe in me, and my word abides in you, then ask what you will. You see? Amen. From the Easter seal, Brother Bram said, now watch the actions of those disciples. They were scared. They knew the Jews, they knew that Jesus was the truth. But you see, it was against the popular idea, the popular religion of the hour. The most strictest religion, the Pharisees, Sadducees and so forth, their cults, clans and denominations, they were against that heresy. But Jesus was the identified word, and Jesus is the Holy Ghost in spirit. A little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you will see me, not the body, the life that was in him. That's what you're going to see. God is upon the church to call sons like he did then, obedient. I always do that which is pleasing to my Father. Which one of you can accuse me of sin? In other words, sin is unbelief. That was the word, what has the word said about me that I haven't done? There it is. Show me what the word said that I do that I didn't do. Which one can accuse me? Which one can lay a finger on me and say I haven't fulfilled my Father's word? Oh, when the Pentecostal church gets to that spot, who can accuse me of unbelief? And from John 10:25, he said, Jesus answering them said, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. In other words, not my works, my Father's works. I come in his name. I'm obedient. I'm an obedient son. And from the world falling apart, he said, now, get back to the truth of the word. God lives alone. God wants his people to live alone with him. Why do you think that we don't have numbers upon numbers upon numbers? People don't want the truth. It's just that simple. They'd rather have music and programs and good time and no conviction from the pulpit. No, just say nice things and the people will come. Preach the word. You know, the man that did the biography of John Wesley, he said the difference between John Wesley and George Whitefield could bring 10,000 at once. They said he was a great actor. He could really perform. They said when he tried to stir the souls of the people, he'd say, hark! I hear the voice of God, or I hear the angels, you know, and just really dramatic. But then John Wesley, he pull that hair back like that, and he'd look, those beady eyes, he said, he'd look, burn a hole right through your soul. And you knew he was preaching directly to you. That was the difference. One had an anointing to the soul. The other had an anointing to a mind. Exactly. The man said that when John or George Whitfield was preaching, he said, if I was a shipbuilder, I felt like I could build that ship from stem to stern. I knew exactly how everything fit, how everything was put in order and everything else. Great speaking, but he said, but nothing to change my soul. But John Wesley, he said, his eyes pierced my soul and looked directly into my heart. And I knew that God was examining me. That's the way Brother Branham was. I believe that's the way any true fivefold minister of God will be. From world falling apart, he said, now get back to the truth of the word. God lives alone. And God wants his people to live alone with him. They want them tied into anything, any sensation, traditions, but he wants his children obedient with his word. That he can place his word in there. Jesus said, ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Then ask what you will. That's either the truth or it isn't the truth. If it is the truth, it'll work. Now, you want to know where the secret lies of power and of visions and of things like that? It's back to the Word. It's the Word of God. Jesus was the Word. He was a manifestation of God. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And the Word wants to be made our flesh. But when we're all wrapped up in all kinds of stuff and traditions and permitted to live like the world and things like that, and then expect God to do that, why, certainly he won't. John 10:32, Jesus answering them said, many good works have I shown you of my Father. For which of these works, which of my obedient acts to my Father's works, do you wish to stone me? They wanted to stone him for his obedience. Oh, they said, not the works, but the things you say. Don't you think that if he was obedient in the works, how much easier it'd be to be obedient in the things that he said? You think any man loves to preach condemnation? I don't think so. You think any man likes to go against the grain? I don't think so. I don't think it's in our nature. No. I think men want to be loved, appreciated. But the fact is, you have to say what God has you say. And that's what they didn't like. In John 14:31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. Therefore, the things that he said, it was commandment from God. And he just was obedient in the things he did, the things he said. From Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And the word righteous comes from rightly wise. There's your two laws again. One is death by disobedience. And the other is life through obedience. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. From the message, reproach for the word, Brother Branham said, one child, that's all it took. It took one child to shake the nations and point to the Messiah. It took one obedient. That's right. God just needs one man, and that's all he needs. Somewhere he can have a voice. That's all he wants, to get just one man in his control. Oh, how he loves to get one man. And my question is, are you that one man? Are you willing to be that one man? From the message I know, he said, all made possible to us because there was one obedient in trial. There was one who stood the test. That was Jesus. The one who was so obedient to the Father till the Father raised him up on Easter morning, because it was not possible that he should be holding of death. And from Abraham's covenant confirmed, he said, then he said, Isaac, put your hands behind you. And he took a string and began to tie his hands. Isaac knew then, watch his obedience like Jesus, the true Son of God, obedience unto death. He took the cross, tied his hands and his feet. And then he said, Father, I see the fire. I see the wood. But where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God hath prepared for us a sacrifice. Can you imagine the obedience of Abraham to bring that knife up. Like Brother Branham said one place, thinking, what am I going to tell my wife when I get home? But he knew, though I slay him, yet God is more than able to raise him up. Because God promised me that seed shall multiply. Hallelujah. Amen. From Supersign, someone, as I have said before, wants to make him a little short God. That's the Jehovah Witnesses. He was man. God was using a man. God was using a flesh that he created himself in order to create through him and to bring through him many sons, says the scriptures. Through that obedient son, through one son all fell, through an obedient son all shall live that believe. Hallelujah. If we can just put all of our trust in him, in that once for all sacrifice, and every time the devil gets on your back, starts to point out your shortcomings, you just point him to the bloody cross and the once for all sacrifice. Now the next thing I want to focus on is, since we've been looking at obedience, I want to look at what obedience brings for you and I. It brings inheritance if you're a son, and then an obedient son, then you receive the inheritance God has for you. Brother Branham began to focus on this back in 1954, and he preached it all the way up to and including the time of the seals and even up until his being taken from the scene. In a sermon, Resurrection of Jairus' Daughter, in 1954, in March 2nd, Brother Branham brings about out about how Jesus was obedient to the Father, even to the point of his own death. He was always busy about the Father's business. He was a very humble son, in obedience even to death. And Brother Branham began to formulate in his heart, in his mind, an understanding that God began to reveal to him what it means to be an obedient son. That it has to do with adoption. Then he preaches a series on the faith of Abraham in 1955 and brings out the same theme. From the faith of Abraham, 11:18 of 1955, he says, I've got a Lord Jesus who died for me, and I'm no good, never was and never will be, and you are not either. But Jesus Christ was God's perfect sacrifice, and through his shed blood and obedience to the Father, we can possess any enemy's gate in triumph. And again in 1956, we see Brother Branham place this theme as well in God's covenant with Abraham. In 1956, February 23rd, he said, and I believe the report of the Bible that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he, through his righteousness of his coming to the earth in obedience to God, I'm justified by faith and believing God and have the privilege to be a son of God. In other words, through Jesus' obedience, and he begins to hone into this obedience, this act of Jesus, this obedience to the Father. Then a few months later, Brother Brown begins to fine-tune his understanding, what this obedience is all about. And in September of 56, he preaches a sermon called Spiritual Adoption, 9:23 of 56. And he hones into the adoption message, which he then takes to the world for the rest of his life. In the sermon, he said, it was on the mountain, and after Jesus had been an obedient child, the flesh, the Lamb, had been led by the Holy Spirit, God moving in him, I come not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And the one that sent me, the Father that sent me, is with me. And as the Father hath sent me and went with me, so send I you. Not only did he send, but he went with him. And God don't just educate a man and send him out with a declaration of some seminary experience. But if he's equipped, God goes with him. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the age. Notice beautifully how the word does so go together, how the Holy Spirit cements it into the hearts of the people by revelation and the love of the Lord. Now, remember, the message name was Spiritual Adoption. Well, 5 months later, Brother Brown preaches on the same subject, but this time he uses a different name for the sermon, and he calls it Hear Ye Him. Preached in January 25th of 57. Now, for the next few years, before the seals are open and the real revelation of Jesus Christ comes into full view, Brother Brown crisscrosses the nation, preaching this same sermon many, many times, trying to get the people into the spirit of adoption to become open to the Word of God as God brings it to us and get us ready to receiving our inheritance, which is the revealed Word. Remember, the things which are hidden belong to God, but the things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. As long as the Word of God, which has been hidden through the ages, Paul says, a hidden wisdom, hidden through the ages, but is now revealed to us through Jesus Christ. He's showing us that our way to the inheritance is through the revealed truth. You see, through the God revealing these things to us. Now, from Hear Ye Him, again, preached 57, 125. He said, but when Jesus was transfigured before them, God placing His Son, and He robed Him with a garment that glistened like the sun, shining in His strength, and a voice from heaven said, this is My beloved Son, hear ye Him. Moses is gone, the law is gone, but this is My Son, hear you Him. That ought to tell you God placing His own Son. So the law has finished, and all the Old Testament has been lived, and there is none left but Christ. And God someday, if the people who are born again of the Spirit of God and the tutor brings message to the Father one day, is called to the side and visited by God and positionally placed in the body of Christ as a teacher or a prophet or evangelist, teacher, pastor, whatever you have been obedient since he's been born, God places that person, you see. So God placing his seed. Then 4 months later, Brother Ram preaches the same message again, called Hear Ye Him, preached on 5/19 of 1957. Now watch, God never did anything lest he asked man to do it, but what he did himself. His son, when he was born here on earth, he was an obedient son. Every step was for the Father. Everything he'd done was to glorify God, and we've seen God in Christ, is that right? No man has seen the Father at any time, but the only begotten of the Son has declared him. The very movements, the very moves, the very actions, everything that Christ did was God working in him. You get it now? Now watch what takes place. Then God takes the Son after a long life, just before Calvary, and he's taking him up on a high mountain in a public place. He brought the heavenly witness down. He brought the earthly witnesses up. And there God took his Son, and when they looked up, they saw a cloud that overshadowed them, and Jesus' raiment shined like the sun in the midst of the day. What was it? God put a robe on him, just like the old adoption said. He robed him in a glorious condition. No wonder, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given into my hands. He robed him and he placed him. And then he said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Then he had the powers of heaven and earth was given into his hands. And what about you and I? Didn't Jesus tell us, if you say to this mountain, be moved and don't doubt in your heart? He said, whatsoever you ask, believe, and you shall receive. He said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall you do also? He said that if you believe in me, he said, ask the Father anything in my name, and I'll do it. You know, we live so below our privileges as sons and daughters of God, but we also live so below our ability to believe and to be obedient. Then 18 months later, Brother Brand preaches again, Hear Ye Him, preached 126 of 58. And when a meeting comes and the Spirit of God begins to work, we know that there's false. I know there's mental illusions. I know that there's all kinds of illusions because the Bible said that there would be. But where the church is let down, it ought to have the church taught and set up in such a way that it would know the right from wrong. See where we're at? Then the Holy Spirit has to bring that type of a message to the Father. Oh my, what must he say? And certainly, if that boy or any teacher knows in the Bible that if that boy wasn't an obedient child, yet he was a son, he never inherited anything. You hear that? If he was a son, but wasn't obedient, he never inherited anything. Any Bible reader knows that. Ephesians 1, first chapter, the fifth verse. God predestinated unto us the children of God by the adoption of Jesus Christ, adopting and the placing of a son. And in paragraph 24 of the same message, he said, this 1958, now, if this child is obedient, there was a ceremony to be made when the child became matured. They took him out to a public place. Now, listen close. Don't miss this. Watch the scripture. They took the child out into a public place. They placed a robe upon him, a royal robe, and they had a ceremony. And it was a ceremony of adoption. The child that had been born into the family become placed by adoption in the family. And after that, that boy's name was just as good on the checkbook as his daddy's was. He was heir of all things. He could take out, he could put up, he could fire, he could hire. He could do whatever he pleased to do because the ceremony of adoption had made him upon his son, and he was clothed and was set in order. Now there's where the church ought to be today. Jesus said, these things that I do shall you do also. Ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Why are we so scared of that? What's the matter? If Christ has clothed us with the Holy Spirit and been adopted into the family after being born again and being baptized into the body by the Holy Ghost. If it's a true witness of God, ask what you will and it'll be done for you. And again, in paragraph 25, the very next paragraph, it continues. He says, have you received a false spirit? Do you act yet with the things of the world as we spoke of this afternoon? Do you still love them? Are they still in your heart? Have you not been a separated person? Then maybe you haven't been adopted. But once adopted, positionally placed in the body of Christ, you are heirs of all things. Notice that's what God did to His Son. God didn't ask us to do anything that He wouldn't do Himself. He took His own Son, who had been obedient. This was just a little before the crucifixion. Remember what He said, come down, the Son of Man goes to Jerusalem, be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles, said, don't tell the vision to anyone. But while they were standing there, God adopted His own Son, for He overshadowed him. And the Bible said that He put a robe on him, insomuch that his raiment shined like the sun in its strength. He set him up before heavenly witnesses there, earthly witnesses, and the voice said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Whatever he says, it's just as good as my word. He was adopted. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given into my hands. There's the adoption of God, adopting His Son. Now, when God says all power, or Jesus said all power is given into my hand, that word is not dunamis. That word is, exousia. It's authority. He had the authority as the firstborn over everything because he was co-equal by adoption. Then a week later, he again preaches the same message, hear ye him, on February 9th of 58. And notice he speaks on the importance of obedience in receiving the inheritance. And on this placing of the Son, that Son's name was just as good on the checkbook as His Father's was, because He'd been proven. He was obedient, and His name was good just as the same as His Father. That's what Jesus meant when He said, ask the Father anything in my name, and I'll do it. Notice, then God never asked anybody to do anything but what He did first. And again, in the next paragraph, He says, now He was going to adopt His Son, His own Son, into His family. He took Him up onto the Mount Transfiguration, a high place before the public. He brought three witnesses of the earth. A three is confirmation, we know that. And He had three witnesses of earth, three witnesses of heaven. And there He clothed Christ, and He overshadowed Him. And His raiment shined like the sun in the middle of the day. But that robe that He placed on Him, showing that He had accepted Him, He was about the Father's business. He did just what the Father showed Him. God was with Him, Peter said, at Pentecost, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by signs and wonders, which He did. Jesus said, I do nothing till the Father shows me first what to do. Obedient. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if the church was in that condition today, obedient to the Father, reverent, and in the Holy Ghost. And in those tight places, when you're afraid to speak up, it's like a gentleman, you stand where you should stand. Like a lady, you take the place, not with the world, but with Christ, reckoning yourself dead to the things of the world. And in the conference and gatherings where you ministers stand, and your conferences begin to talk against the supernatural, against this, and this was for another age, take your stand. God will honor you. Oh, how my thoughts goes to the day that David danced around the ark and his wife laughed at him. But God said, he's a man after my own heart. Sure, you can't stand with men and God too. If you're a servant of God, you can't be a servant of God. If you're a servant of man, you can't be a servant of God. If you're a servant of God, you won't be a servant of man. But they're standing. God overshadowed and clothed him with immortality, and a voice came from heaven speaking that he had accepted him. Then 7 weeks later, Brother Branham again preaches the same message. Hear ye him. 328 of 1958. And he says, the Holy Ghost said, he only sealed those who wept inside for the abomination that was done in the city. Who would he seal in this city tonight? Who lays on their face day and night crying for the sins in the city? Can you put your finger on one? See, the storm's about over. And that's it. And that's right. But here we are. Now, if he was an obedient child, he loved his father no matter what any of the other boys said on the next farm. He knew what his father wanted. He could tell from the way that he built and what he had did and what he had wanted. And the man that's a son of God reads the Bible and sees what God was yesterday and that he's the same today. And he believes him to be the same in principle, in power, in everything that he ever was. The great Jehovah is still the same. The Bible said, Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a true son who believes that. And then 2 years go by, and he preaches again in 313 of 1960, hear ye him. Now when this boy, if he come up, that way and did not become obedient, did not have the action of his father, did not try to carry his father's business on the way that his father did, then that child missed all of his inheritance. Another brother had to take his place. Now today, if we try to take the church before God under just some common church creed or theology, that's not the way Jesus took the church before God. God wants the church to be filled with the Holy Ghost, doing the same works that he did when he was here on earth. That's the kind of church that the teacher, the Holy Spirit, will want to present before God. And another 2 years and 8 months then go by, and he again preaches on the same subject, but he changes the title this time because he's hitting it from a different approach, and he calls it blasphemous names. And he said, "He's my beloved son, hear ye him," that's him, that's the one. Now, in the Old Testament, when that son was adopted or placed into the family, his name was just as good on the checkbook as his daddy's was. Yes, sir. They had a ring in them days, a sign or a signet. And they'd spit on it, and then they'd place it. That was a signet. He wore his daddy's ring, his signet, and that was just as good as his daddy's was. Now, when Jesus had been obedient, Jesus to God, God placed him positionally, this is him. Now, when the member is born by the Holy Ghost into the family of God and is proven to have these virtues in him, that God can see virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, and godliness in him, then God seals him or places him. And there, that's when you see the sons and daughters of God. So what does this all mean? First of all, we see that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was subject to his Father in all things. He was an obedient son. He was our pattern. We also see that if we are to receive inheritance, we must also be obedient as he was. Because he is a pattern. And how do we do that? Well, we must die to self. We must allow God to work in us to will and to do. But how can God work in us to will if we impose our own will upon our flesh instead of his will? And how do we even know God's will unless we're in his word day and night? I am thoroughly convinced that many who claim to be sons of God in this late hour, they may be sons all right, but they have not sufficiently died to self that they might be obedient sons. And without this attribute as obedient son, what inheritance do they have to look forward to? Nothing. Philippians 3:15 says, "Let us therefore as many as be perfect," that's mature, complete, finished off, "be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded," in anything, if we're anything otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Then what is it? Then it's a matter of repenting. Turning from what you're doing. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you in here and tells you, don't do that. Do you continue to do it? You're not obedient to the Father. In Philippians 2, verse 1 to 16, we read in closing, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. As Brother Branham said, eternal life is living for others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither have labored in vain." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, your word says, "Let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in us. Let the attitude that was in Jesus be in us, that we might have a spirit that is obedient to thee, not only obedient, but joyfully obedient. Jesus said, I love to do my Father's will. It's in me to do it. It's my meat. Oh God, help us, Lord, through this last days. Help us to come forth in the image. Help us to manifest Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever in these bodies of flesh, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. And prepare us for the change of the body, which to wit is the redemption of our soul. And Paul said the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. Help us, O God, that our bodies might be redeemed, that they might be bought back, that they might come under full obedience to thy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. God bless you all.